Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, I am back. It might not feel to you that I have been gone because I've been recording podcasts and posting them, but I personally have not been at this microphone for a really long time. So hello, this is Nicole Sachs. Welcome to my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. I was just going to say .com. The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs. Looking for a way to screw my head on straight so I can be back in the game. I've been out at the Omega Institute doing my week-long workshop, which went amazing. If you guys were out there with me, hello, I love you. Oh my God, right? How amazing was it? It really exceeded my expectations in every single way, and that's the way I'm explaining it to people when they ask me, because it wasn't just being in person with people, and it wasn't just being at Omega, and it wasn't just my incredible instructors and the energy of all of you guys who came. It was transformative for me too. And if you guys were there, you know what happened. With just, I was able to just be so present and so emotional. And I think that it's a result of a lot of things that we've had to live through in the past couple years for me, both personally and globally. And I want to invite you, no matter who you are and if you were there or not, to have that perspective that there is positive to be gained. We can ask the question of each challenging situation, what is right about this that I'm not seeing? What is right about this that I'm not seeing? Because I really think that the perspective shift of having to deal with so much adversity and so much struggle and so much suffering in the past couple years made the experience of being at Omega extraordinary for me personally, and I can really feel that it was for everyone who was there. So thank you. I am here to announce that I will be having my next live event that I know about right now, and there certainly could be more that are announced, I will be in Boone, North Carolina at the Art of Living Retreat Center, April 8th through the 10th. I have no idea if that's on sale yet. Probably would have been a good idea for me to check that before I jumped on this podcast, but I didn't. So just mark your calendar if that's something that you're interested in. It will just be a weekend, so Friday evening, Saturday, and Sunday. Myself and Lisa Schlossberg and Caroline Dewey, the three of us, for a weekend of freedom from chronic pain. So just putting it out there. Okay. I'm trying to think if there's any other housekeeping stuff. If you're new to my work or if you're confused about anything we're talking about here, many online resources, many of them free. Go to thecureforchronicpain.com, click on the resources tab. Frequently asked questions are there, glossary of terms, how to journal speak, a specific section on how to journal speak. Follow me on Instagram at Nicole Sachs, LCSW. That's NicoleSachs. LCSW, lots of great content there every day. And I also have an IGTV series called I Am Evidence that is many episodes there. So lots of places to learn about this stuff. I'm so excited to be with you and to share it with you. So today on the podcast, I want to talk about a post that really blew up on Instagram that made me think it deserved more airtime. I talk a lot about trauma responses on Instagram and in my work in general, and the way our body physically holds our trauma. And that's not to be a scary thing. It's not like it can't be overcome. It just needs to be acknowledged that trauma is not just in the heart and the mind. Trauma lives in the body because we are living in a mind-body system. It's inextricable. You cannot separate the mind from the body. And one thing I often say to help people understand this is what I'm sharing with you is something that you already believe. For example, if you ever got a stress headache, you know, raise your hand, you know, people always believe that they can get a headache from stress. They don't get an MRI of the brain or a CAT scan just because they got a really bad headache at the end of a stressful day. That's an emotional stimuli leading to a physical issue. I know I talk about this a lot. You know, you can get hives from panic. You can, when you cry, that is an emotional stimuli, meaning sadness or being touched or moved, that leads to a physical reaction, water falling out of your face. So, you know, this is something you already believe, that there can be that we live in a mind-body system, that everything is dancing together at all times. So because we live in a mind-body system and because the nervous system is precisely designed to protect us without asking our permission or our opinion, we cannot pull apart the way the trauma affects our mind and our heart and the way it affects our body. And so much, I believe, of chronic illness and chronic pain and chronic conditions and symptoms and syndromes that last and last are a result of this unheard, unseen, undealt with trauma. And sometimes that's capital T trauma, which is incredibly unfortunate, abuse, neglect of all sorts, witnessing of unthinkable things, you know, severe, like a car accident or other severe trauma to the body. That's capital T trauma. But there's also myriad lowercase t trauma that I've experienced a ton of, that I talk about on this podcast a lot, that every one of my friends has experienced a ton of, which is the death by a thousand paper cuts, not being seen, not being heard, not being loved properly, not being prioritized, being shut down, having your reality questioned or denied, which is gaslighting. So much of this little t trauma builds up. And it can be experienced in our bodies because our brain and our nervous system are trying to protect us. I know it's crazy. They're trying to protect us with our physical symptoms to divert us from the depth of the complexity of the trauma that we're not unwilling to unravel it. First of all, we often don't know that unraveling it is the solution to our physical problems. And second of all, we don't know how. We don't know how. So I do these trauma response posts because I want people to understand that a lot of normal stuff that we all experience on a daily basis are trauma responses, are things that are attached and related to different forms of trauma that we've lived through, that we continue to live through. It could happen in childhood. It could happen in adulthood, how we're treated and how we are changed and transformed by living through trauma, both in positive and strong ways in terms of our resilience and in ways that have hurt us. So the post this week that really blew up was about subconsciously wanting somebody to save us all the time, somebody to swoop in and save us is a trauma response. So whether you are consciously or unconsciously going through your life with some sort of just really slight back of mind hope, dream, desire, need, panic, desperation to be saved, to have someone, you know, gallop on a white horse and just swoop you up, that is a trauma response. That is sown often in childhood when we are so nakedly desperate to be saved. You know, little kids are not embarrassed to raise their hands up in the air to an adult and say, just please carry me, carry me. And, you know, I always want to say this, and I want to normalize this as much as possible. Not all trauma that we experience is at the hands of abusers. I live at the beach, okay? I live at the beach and I live near a really awesome active boardwalk. And so any random spring, summer, or fall night, you see hundreds of people on the boardwalk at 7:30 at night. And I like to lovingly refer to this time of the evening as I hate my kids' o'clock. Because I will sometimes, you know, I have teenagers now, and that is fraught with its own recipe list, you know, laundry list of problems and pain. But I don't have little kids anymore. But at any point at 7:30 on the boardwalk, when I am calmly and lovingly enjoying my scoop of ice cream as I sit and watch the people pass, every other family, there is a child who is crying, screaming, refusing to walk, refusing to be strapped into a stroller. I mean, it's 7:30 at night after a beach day, probably no nap, probably, you know, wearing maybe a sundress that you'd rather be in, like your jammies. You know, it's just a difficult time for everyone. Parents who are just trying to enjoy their vacation and kids who are like, motherfucker, you know, I mean, this is what's happening. So I'm watching this, and sometimes I see real abuse. I mean, if I obviously saw capital T trauma abuse, I would be reporting it. But I don't mean real abuse like that. I mean, like, parents were hauling off on their kids in terms of verbally, you know, just like, be quiet, shut up. I mean, that's so, so toxic. Try not to do that. Forgive yourself if you do, but really try not to do that. I really try not to do that. But there's also many more examples of well-meaning, clearly well-intentioned parents who are just at the end of their own ropes, who are not able to properly, or even properly is a terrible word because I don't mean to assign blame, who are not able to meet their kids where they're at because the kids are unreasonable, as children are want to be. And the parents are parents, and we all know how hard it is. And so I'm watching these energetic mismatches happen all the time. But for a child, especially for a child who is born sensitive or extra reactive or feels things in a very big way, over and over and over again, reacting in a way that is deemed unacceptable to their parents and then being met with a rejection. I mean, let's just say it. You know, even at 7:30 at night on the boardwalk where your sunburned child is in a sundress and sandals when they'd rather be at home watching TV in their jammies, screaming and crying, and you're just stone-faced trying to walk down the boardwalk because we're going to have a good time, goddammit. No one's at fault. No one's at fault. Well-meaning parents who are just trying to get through their lives and just do their best. My kids are 5 years apart total, meaning I have one that was five, one that was three, and then one that was born. You know, I have three kids under the age of five. So I get it. I'm not throwing shade on people who can't deal at 7:30 at night on a beach vacation, but I'm just saying for kids who are born sensitive, for kids who are very needful of a lot of attention, for kids who are born into large families where there's just not enough attention to go around, this is little T trauma. So of course, there's tons and tons of little T trauma that is poorly intended. And then there's tons and tons of it that's not. And we have to make space for all of that because all of that is important in how it lands with us today. Because as you well know, whatever happened to you in your life is not your fault. But as adults, in order to handle it, in order to grow and change and evolve and transform, it is our responsibility. In grad school, that poster was on the wall in one of the conference rooms. Everything that happened to you before today is not your fault, but from today on, it's your responsibility. And I agree with that because my whole work is about empowering you, is about telling you that you can take back your power when you realize that you can have the tools to change your own life. So there's all sorts of ways in which we hold trauma. And usually these little T traumas get grouped together in big buckets of I'm not important, I'm bad, I'm in trouble, I'm not worthy, I shouldn't ask for a lot, I don't deserve nice things. You know, these are the big buckets of our core wounds, and all sorts of little paper cuts go in to form these limiting beliefs. And so when I say that wanting to be rescued all the time, whether it's subconscious or conscious, is a trauma response, it's because as little kids, that is a very real stance to take. We are truly, with open hearts, looking to these people, parents or parent figures, to say, will you help me? Will you rescue me? Will you make it better? And when over and over again, whether through benign or poor intent, we are getting that message back. Nope, nope, nope. I can't make it better. I won't make it better. We use that information to create thought patterns and processes that we take through our entire lives. And one of them is, I just want somebody to fix this. I just, with my eyes closed and my arms open, please, please, can somebody help me? But that's not a stance that many people as adults feel comfortable with. And so what we do is we sublimate that need. We become overachievers. We become perfectionists. We become goodists. We become people pleasers. We become, good working members of society. I'll tell you that. I'm one of them. But also there's this overwhelming and underlying desire to be fixed and saved. And it can feel really terrible. And oftentimes it can go really under the radar. So I have a little story for you. When I was about a year sober, so about 6.5 years ago, I did a program at a place called the Caron Foundation. You can look it up. It's a great program, Caron in Pennsylvania, the Caron Foundation. It's called Breakthrough. And it is a six or seven day intensive where it's not a rehab. Caron is a rehab in one of its areas, but it's not a rehab. It's for people who are either sober or don't have a problem with substances. And you live in a house with about 10 people for a week. And it's just this intensive psychodrama is a word for it. I don't know if they still call it that, but it's essentially you spend the first portion of the time. By the way, two therapists also live in the house with you. And there's a third that comes in to do lectures. And you spend a portion of the time doing trust building activities, like really working through some deep stuff with this group of people. And it's all different people and everyone's coming from different backgrounds. It's very diverse. And then the last couple days of the experience are what they call the psychodrama, where you are the person, each person gets their turn and it's like a couple hours. It's very intense. And the rest of the group, through the therapist's very, very kind and studied guidance, play different roles in your life. So it could be a person, could be they play your mother, or they could play, a bully that you experienced growing up, or they could play parts of you. Like I remember one person was assigned to be my inner critic. That was fun. And they can also play soothe factors. Like one of the people in my group, I assigned to be Blue Dog, which was kind of hilarious. And she did a really nice job of taking that seriously. But anyway, so they run through your life. And to be honest with you, I don't even really remember the content of mine very much. But the therapists go around and they're guiding the experience and they're whispering in the ears of the people sometimes things to say or things to do or where to move in the room or what prop to pick up. It's really fascinating. They do a pretty heavy screening process. So it's not for everyone because I don't think it's for people who are still super, super triggered by their trauma. But it was really good for me at the time. So the reason I'm telling you this story is that I experienced through that week a lot of physical pain and just horrible anxiety and discomfort because things were working through me. Things were working their way through me. And I was dealing with a lot of stuff that I don't think I had taken the time because, I mean, you're there for a whole week with nothing else to do and you don't even have your phone. They take your phone. I mean, you give it away. But they take it. And I was working through a lot and there I got this strange symptom that I have really rarely gotten, which was pain in like my middle back. It was almost felt like a band right underneath right around my rib cage. And it was horrible pain. I mean, it hurt when I breathed, it hurt when I twisted, it hurt when I just sat still. It was very difficult for me to sleep and I knew what it was. I wasn't like I was thinking something was physically wrong with me, but it fucking sucked. Just to be straight up honest with you, it was really terrible. And I'm frustrated because I'm trying to be present. I'm trying to focus on this work and it's no joke to be there. You know, I took a week out of my life. It's expensive, and so I'm there and it's really distracting me as it is want to do, right? This is its point. Its point is to distract me. Oh, no, look over here. Look at this terrible back pain. Maybe go to a doctor. Maybe get an injection. Maybe get a treatment. Don't look over there at the trauma. The trauma is too dangerous. You feel me? Do you understand why this is happening? And it's happening to all of us. So anyway, I'm feeling this pain through the week and I'm just like a freaking soldier. I'm just going through the week. I'm walking through the week. So the last night, now I've already done my psychodrama, huge release, crying, all the stuff, and now it's still not going away. And I'm like, Jesus, am I going to take this home with me now? And then I get angry because I'm like, this is my goddamn work and I don't want to, you know. So I'm lying in bed. Thank God I had paid up for the private room because I'm a terrible sleeper. I'm an incredibly light sleeper. So I paid up for the private room so I could sleep without someone snoring. However, maybe this was the real underlying reason that I unconsciously knew I had to have the private room. The morning we're going to leave, so Friday morning, where the whole thing is basically just, you know, preparing us to be shipped back out into the world. No more deep work on Friday. I wake up at 5 in the morning and my middle back is screaming and I am in despair. And I, in the dark, furiously, am like reaching around for my notepad and my pen. And I am so pissed I have to do this right now. So just guys know that although I sit and preach this stuff, when it comes to me, I'm no happier to do it than you are because I'm a human being. But anyway, I still do it. So I get the notebook and I get the pen and I start to write. And it is the ugliest, most angry, most flipping off every single thing that I believe in journal speak rant ever. You know, the F word is flying everywhere. F this, F that, F everything I believe, F God, F my parents, F my dad, my dead dad who had been like guiding me all those years, F everything. I believe in nothing. I'm alone in this world. No one can ever do anything for me. My worst fears are right. I'm alone. I'm alone. I'm alone. And I'm writing. I still have it somewhere. I still have it somewhere. But the ugliness, I don't need to relook at. The reason I kept it is because of the last moment of it. I'm writing and I'm writing and I'm writing and something just entered me. It was like a light. It was like an energy. It was the universe. It was the great spirit. It's the whatever you want to call it. It entered me and it said, nobody's coming to save you. Nobody's coming. Nobody's coming to fix you. Nobody's coming to discover you and put you on the world stage. This is long before I did a podcast. This is long before I did anything to help myself with my work. And my work was a source of huge frustration for me because I believed in it so much. I watched it literally stunningly changing people's lives. And it felt like nobody wanted to listen to me because I wanted to be saved. I wanted to be fixed. I wanted to be discovered. I don't want to do the up at dawn pride swallowing work of writing every day, posting every day, spending all this money that I don't get back, making podcasts, you know, putting myself out there again and again. I don't want to do that. I wanted to be discovered. I wanted someone to pluck me out of obscurity. I didn't even really know that, but it was in there. But it was more than just that. It was my heart. It was my little girl inside. It was my father who died in an instant. It was being a mom. And oh my God, talk about death by a thousand paper cuts, the pain of being a mom, of wearing your heart outside of your body. Oh my good God. And all of it. And I just wanted someone to save me. And it was just this raw, nobody is coming to save you. Nobody is coming. Nobody is ever coming. And I sat there in the bed with the tears, just hot tears, rolling down my cheeks, and I felt such huge relief. Ah, I can stop waiting for it. Nobody's coming. And my pain just dissolved. It dissolved. It flowed sort of out. It's not like I physically felt it down my legs and out my toes and down my arms and out my hands, but it went. It just drained out of me. And it's not like a miracle of miracles. It mostly went. And by the time I walked and stretched around that morning, it was gone. It never returned. And my loves, this is how it works. And I fight it like a tantruming toddler, just like you fight it. But it just works. And I needed to get that. Because you guys, listen, when we have this trauma response of wanting someone to save us, we are blocked from our own sunlight. We're blocked from our own power. We don't know it all the time. Sometimes this is a very subconscious process, but until we awaken to it, we are blocked. And awareness is the first key to all healing. So it's such an essential lesson. It's such an important thing to connect with that. Are you somewhere in there, just waiting. You know, you're doing your left foot, right foot breathe, you're walking through your life, you're doing your thing, but is there somewhere inside that you are waiting for someone to swoop in? And is that getting in the way of your ability to really spread your wings and grow and fly and do? And it's worthwhile, it's a worthwhile inquiry. I don't know the truth for you. I don't know if this is true for you, but I sure as hell know it was true for me. And on that day that I made that initial discovery of it, it really did shift something in my thinking. And I think it was the precursor. I think it was the fertile ground for everything that's come since. And I'm still not a worldwide phenomenon. I mean, not yet. A little bit. My podcast is listened to absolutely all over the world, but I'm working on it and I know now. And I don't have pain and I don't have angst about it anymore. In fact, I'm quite relaxed about it now, ever since then. Like, I'm doing this, man. I will never stop. I'm doing this and I will do it. And one day I do believe that I will really get a big sort of jump onto a larger platform, because it's the tipping point, as my mother always says, and it will happen. But until then, I have no desperation or angst or desire for it to be different than it is, because no one's coming for me, man. It's my work. It's my work to do what I feel I need to put it out there, and to raise my kids, and to take care of my heart, and to continue to grow, and continue to forgive myself for who I've been, and to become someone better. It's my work, and I'm doing it, and you're doing it. And that's what we're here for, to continue to be open, to continue to have that willingness to do what we need to do so we don't stay stuck. As David Foster Wallace says, to not live our entire lives dead. And until we wake up, sometimes we do. I went through many dead years, and there is no shame in that. There is no shame in anything you have done, anything that you have decided, any decision that you've made that's put you in a situation where you felt like you couldn't handle it and then you had to get out. There's no shame. You know, I used to drink alcoholically, and I often say I don't regret one of those drinks, because it led me to the desperation I needed to surrender. It led me to sobriety, and it led me to today, and I am all for every one of those drinks. Now, thank God I didn't, you know, really, really hurt myself or other people in my irresponsible behavior. Thank God. I have no lack of gratitude for that, but I don't regret it, because I needed what I needed, and so do you. So please, if there's a message that I can send to you today, is whatever you related to in this podcast, please put your arms around yourself, feel that warm embrace, and say, it's okay. Whatever I've done, any mindset I've had that kept me stuck, any decision I made that makes me feel regretful, it's okay. I needed it then. Maybe perhaps I don't need it anymore. And that's just a readiness that will be individual. True readiness is everything, and different readiness arrives for each person. And so just be where you are, my love. Be where you are. And understand that the information that I put out there is available to you. I'm going to put it down. If you want to pick it up, definitely pick it up. And if you're not ready, leave it there. It'll still be there. When you turn around and look in your rearview mirror, it'll be right there. All right. Well, I'm glad to be back at the mic. I'm glad to be back with a little bit of room to stretch. In a few weeks, when my kids go back to school, I will really have more room to stretch, and I'll start putting out more announcements for virtual retreats that we are going to continue throughout this year. I'm so excited. Another reason I am appreciative of this COVID experience this couple years is because I have expanded my virtual reach quite a bit. And I don't think I would have had confidence to do that had it not been for the entire world going virtual. So I have gratitude for that. So I'll be announcing more virtual retreats with themes, and then a big weekend one probably by mid-September, when I get my act together after the kids go back to school. And we'll be in North Carolina, April 8th through the 10th, and hopefully more in-person retreats to be announced as well. Okay, well, if you are enjoying this podcast, it would be so awesome if you could go over to iTunes and rate and review it for me. I love reading what you have to say. Read the other ones too. Go to iTunes and read the reviews for this podcast. They bring me a tremendous amount of joy because you guys are really hearing me. And like, it just makes me feel like everything I do is worthwhile. So thank you for that. Okay. I love you deeply and dearly. I send you all good things, a little bit of fairy dust to sprinkle over your day today. And I'll see you next time. So until next week, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. And I will see you then. Bye-bye.